Aloha! Welcome to 6-Bit Storybooks Podcast, a podcast that encourages you to delight in your creative story because you do have one worth sharing. This is episode 8, and I'm your hostess, Melissa, and I am so glad that you're joining in. For listeners who have spent time with us before, welcome back. If you've heard anything you've enjoyed, be sure to let me know. I'm on Instagram, Ravelry, and Twitter as mskinitz, and you can email me with questions, thoughts, comments at hellomelissa@6bitsstorybooks.com. If you are a new set of ears to the podcast, this podcast can keep you company as you knit, spin, drive, walk, whatever. We hope what we share inspires you. Perhaps gives you some encouragement, maybe even teaches you something. We try each and every week to share good content in the form of helpful downloadable tools. Last week, we shared on episode 7 a booklet on starting strong, information we hoped would help you start your next project off with purpose and clarity. This week, you are in for another great treat. But more on that in just a moment. First, I'd like to thank a sponsor, us. That's right, 6-Bit Storybooks. Our storybooks are more than just patterns. Each quarterly issue has knitting patterns and stories from the designers that created them. Those stories share how the pattern came to be. Why this particular yarn? What should we consider when substituting yarns or even colors? We take a deeper look into the knitting and the lives of the knitters. Connect with those living lives like yours, as well as lives you've never even considered dreaming of. Stories of adventures, beginnings, growth, purpose. Technical stories on how to improve in knitting, photography, yarn knowledge. We have lots to share, not the least of which are our stunning photo stories that take you places while showing you the patterns that you can recreate in different settings, on different bodies, in different colors. Our Storybooks Explorer. We invite you along. For more information on ordering our first issue, Unearth, or the first volume of 4 issues comprising year 1, head to www.6bitstorybooks.com. Well, for this episode, Melody has the day off, and you and I are going to be joined by a different guest in just a few moments. But today our time together isn't going to be discussing woolly goodness or knitting techniques. Uh-oh. No, seriously. Today I want to share what I find inspires, truly enriches my knitting creativity, and it's not necessarily knitting. I try to involve myself with a variety of people and things that are completely unrelated to knitting, which I'm sure that you do the same. Nothing new here, Mel, right? But I try to purpose this time that seems unrelated to knitting for teachable moments, lessons, if you will, on how to be a better knitter. Through sewing with my mother or kids, for instance, I can find just takeaway ideas to make a pattern or improve an action or a skill that I might use in knitting. A great source for me, which may not resonate with all of you, but it might. When watching the opera or ballet, I look at the structure and lines, the incredible beauty of positions and figures. In ballet especially, I seem to be fascinated by the fitness and strength of dances and dancers putting together these intricate movements. And usually after watching a bit, I want to sketch oversized and drapey things, which is rather in contrast to the
fitted bodices and stiff tutus. The best inspiration for knitting for me seems to come from moments listening to others talk about their creative happenings. And most often, they aren't knitters or fiber aficionados at all. So it is with today's guest, Kate Bouye, my favorite ginger, as I teasingly call her. Kate is a 23-year-old creative force, and she left Kauai when I knew her as a 17-year-old local girl ready to do great things. She has been working in various creative fields in LA for some time with photography, art, and design. And after her birthday next week, she's going to prepare to head back to college to further her education in graphic design. Kate was the lead for the California-based team doing the coastline and cliff photo shoots for Unearth, our first Six Bits issue. So for those of you who are listening along, you may find it quite enjoyable to look through your magazine through the coastlines and cliff sections as we're chatting. Kind of gives you a little bit deeper appreciation. Those of you who are listening in that don't have the magazine, do not worry. You can go to the show notes where I've put up a couple of different images that I think you will enjoy. And also, if you look on my Instagram account, or if you, which I'm mskknits on Instagram, or if you use the hashtag unearthkal or the 6-bit storybooks feed on Instagram, you'll see a host of different images that pertain to what we're talking about. I chatted with Kate about her creative journey, and I don't want you to let her age fool you. The up-and-coming savvy designers, storytellers, and makers have heart and soul and spunk that we older folks can be enriched by, challenged from, and have a good chuckle over. So, please welcome Kate with me now, and after she and I chat, I'll share this week's special gift with you. Well, I am being joined right now by my absolute favorite ginger, Kate. And you guys missed it because this, listeners, is my second go-round with Kate, and you missed the funny joke about the fact that I am on the East Coast, and she said she's on the best coast, and I was like, gag. And so tell us where you are, Kate.
I am in LA, California.
Okay. And you actually hail from?
Hawaii.
And specifically?
Kauai, Poipu.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it was from Poipu.
Yeah, Southside.
Oh, Southside, yeah. So now, always growing up there or?
Yeah. I lived in Poipu the whole time, and then I lived in Omau for about a year and a half.
Oh, now I love Omau.
Omau is awesome.
That's Randy's old stomping ground.
Yes, it's very moist, so a lot of mold. But other than that, it's really pretty.
Well, it's funny because everybody says that about Omau. And then when we first moved from Oahu to Kauai, we were in Kapa'a. And we were up in Kahuna Road, way up there at the end.
Oh, gosh. Is it moldy up there?
Oh, my gosh. It is. And the house was new. I mean, it was very new construction, and it was. Did it, you never come over there?
I don't think so.
We had a couple acres out nestled, and it had. Oh my gosh, the banana. Well, anyways, it was really awesome. Oh, I'm so homesick. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not homesick for the mold, but all the other parts.
Yeah, the mold and the centipedes. I will say, we were just talking with Adrian yesterday. Actually, Adrian called us. Mm. My favorite ukulele player. He called and was chatting yesterday, and we were talking about him, or we were talking to him about when he was coming over. And okay, so that is connecting all the dots to Kauai. Listeners, this is what happens when you get two people displaced from paradise. They have to catch back up on areas that they love. But
yes,
Kate was, as I mentioned earlier, the creative entity behind the photo shoots that we did for Unearth, and you were based out of LA. So you did our coastlines and cliffs, and you also did the fashion segment, and you did a fantastic job. I think all of the readers got, exactly what I wanted, in that it was a completely different vibe from what Nate captured on Kauai.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And before we start unpacking what you did for the subscription or the Unearth issue, I wanted to just chat a little bit about you and let listeners kind of get to know you a bit, because you are super creative, not just behind the camera lens, but in a lot of different ways. And so before we talk about all the things that you're involved in now, can you talk about when you were younger, since you're not that old right now, but when you were younger, just growing up, have you always felt this creative spirit? Is it something that you kind of grew into? Can you just share a little bit about?
I think I had to make up for my lack of ability in sports and anything having to do with athleticness. So, I've always liked drawing, but neither of my parents are really artistic, so I didn't know it was an actual avenue until I thought I sucked at everything, actually, growing up, until I was about 13 or 14, and I started drawing. Mm-hmm. And then I would hide everything that I did. I would hide it because I was like, I don't want to get made fun of for doing this, because I thought for some reason I would get made fun of for it. So I think it was around probably 16 or 17 that I started painting. That's when I started singing. That's when I just started doing everything and being proactive in it and showing people and having people listen or see what I was doing.
Now, do you find, because to me, knowing you one-on-one, I feel like you're very confident, very comfortable in your own skin to this day. And maybe I can get you to send me this picture. I don't know if you'll remember it. You probably should. It's the one where you're in your little leggings and your hoodie, and you've got these bright floral leggings on and these crazy colored shoes, and you're looking down at your shoes, and it's this Instagram post that is my favorite thing ever. But it just, to me, just kind of encapsulates the fact that you're your own person, you're doing your own thing. And I'm wondering, has it always been like that for you, where you feel like, okay, I'm comfortable in my own skin, maybe not having the perfect creative outlet, but have you always been comfortable with who you are, or is that something that you kind of fell into or grew into as well?
I always knew I was different, but I didn't necessarily think that was a good thing, especially being on Kauai. I was like one of the only white people, and I moved there when I was 13. So I was super insecure. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Oregon when I was 17 for school, for college. And I think I had no friends, and I was just forced out of my bubble. And people would always meet me and think like, oh, this girl's so quiet and rude. And I just decided like, I'm going to break that barrier. I'm just going to be myself. I remember always being jealous of the girl who's really sweet and would like, I remember my cousin would always refer to me as like sweetie. And I was like, I wish I could be like that. And then it dawned on me, like, I'm never going to be that girl. I'm going to be kind of the sassy, snarky, against the grain, slightly cross the line in just, you know, just being a person. And I think, I don't know, I feel like I kind of faked it, and then it just turned into a reality. And then I was like, wow, it feels great. I can be like, people actually enjoy who I am when I'm being honest about myself.
Yeah, kind of liberated.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very stereotypical of what you see about, you know, accepting who you are, but it worked.
Now,
in my personal experience.
And that's you're the boss of your personal experience. Now, when you really started working in different mediums and exploring your creativity through music and singing and painting, I'm guessing photography kind of came along with that. Did you struggle with it, or did it seem like it was a natural progression? Like, okay, hey, yeah, I'm going to pick this up and try this, or hey, I'm going to start making some jewelry. I think this is fun. Or just out of creative overflow, or was it interest and you taught yourself these different things?
Honestly, it just, yeah, I think I always have to be doing something. And so I would see something and I would think I can do that and I probably can do it better. And I have, I mean, I just started doing photography last, we got a camera, me and my roommate split a camera last December, I think. And that's when I started taking pictures. I never had a camera before that. I never took pictures. I got like a digital camera when I was, I think, 14, and that was a very short phase. But other than that, yeah, I think I just out of sheer determination, I mean, even with the what was it, jewelry, when I started doing that, I saw someone making jewelry and I just thought, I think I can do that better than her. And then I would just watch YouTube videos and then I would teach myself and so forth, and then everything else would happen. So I don't know if that, I don't mean that in a conceited way or anything like that, but I'm very determined when I think, like when I want or am I interested in something, I kind of just force myself to learn it.
Now, part of what I think is, as an outsider looking at you and your life and seeing you go and do, and part of for me seeing your creative entity blossom, I feel it kind of manifests a little bit in the fact that you zip around a lot. Like you're here and there, you're on the West Coast, you're back in Kauai, and you travel a bit. Do you feel like you go a lot of different places?
I didn't notice that I did that until that's what everyone, when I would see anyone, that's what they would say about me. They're like, we actually don't know where you live. I'm like, I live in LA, where, I mean, obviously, but yeah, I think I started seeing, wow, I do go a lot of places. Even in the next like 4 weeks, I'm going to a lot of places. I don't know where that came from. Because I used to be like stay in one place and never wanted to leave. So.
Yeah, and we actually had to like I was planning on interviewing you 2 weeks ago, and you were where?
I was in South Africa.
Yeah, where were you in South Africa?
I was in Cape Town. I was in Franschhoek. I was in Stellenbosch and Aquila.
Now, was that pretty inspirational? Was that?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I love any experience that is new. I love meeting like new people and new cultures. My whole jewelry thing, a lot of that was actually inspired when I went to Haiti. I'm just thinking back and remembering that. And this trip was definitely, I learned a lot about just that culture and also just figuring out like what I wanted to do. I absolutely love, love, love. Just meeting the people in that culture, like the real people, what makes South Africa, South Africa, and not just the touristy stuff that's thrown in your path as you go. So that was really cool for me to see.
Now, would you go back? Do you like that area enough that you would go back, or are you wanting
Oh,
to explore a different place? Do you want to go back, or do you like to move on to the next thing?
I'm always torn because I always want to go back to wherever I go, but I also love new places. I was at a boarding school for the last week that I was there, and that's where I made a lot of connections with people who live there. And a lot of, I was there with like 15 high school girls. So I got really connected with them. We hung out all the time. And so, I mean, of course, like now I have an attachment to them and I want to go back and see them and see how they're doing. They're going to be going off to college next year. So at least definitely keeping in touch with them. And I would love to go back if I could.
And now, just to frame it, because a lot of people are listening, and you sound young and spunky, but you are actually going there as in a mentor capacity. You're not going to hang out in the boarding school as a teenager,
Yes.
because you're actually getting ready to go back to college because you're
Yes.
interested in graphic design.
Yes.
Why? Why are you interested in that?
I love anything creative. All art aspects and graphic design. I actually, a couple years ago, did not want to. I was like, that is the dumbest thing. I'll never do graphic design. I hate computers. But then I noticed I was I started doing stuff for, I worked at a church and they needed graphics. And so I was just kind of forced into making them. And I was like, wow, I actually really like doing this. I can make money from doing this, as opposed to other artistic avenues sometimes don't pan out with money. So I started looking into it, and I love dabbling in all different types of creative outlets. So it was hard for me to pick one and stick with it. Mm-hmm. And doing graphic design, one of the outcomes of doing that is you can be kind of like a creative director, mm-hmm. the higher up you go. And that is just, I think with being a creative director, you really have to have a lot of things under your belt. So I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to get that. I want to learn as much as I can. I want to be able to. And a lot of the times, everything that I would do with art, there was always, I would get to this point where I would have to do some sort of graphic, mm-hmm. like either, you know, like a web graphic or some sort of promotional graphic. And I was always stuck, and I would have to get someone else to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm the type of person, like, I want to be able to do it on my own. So those are the main reasons that inspired that decision.
And so you're excited about this next little
yes.
adventure.
I am very excited. I start in January.
Oh, good.
Yes, very excited.
Well, now I'm pretty excited myself to bring it kind of full circle, hearing a little bit about your background and your interests. Now, you don't knit.
I don't. You don't. I've knitted before.
What did you knit before? Are you sure you knitted and not crocheted?
I had a pair of knitting needles, and I knit an infinity scarf, and I did that stitch. What's like a really common, but it's like a two different stitches that you go in and out of.
All the knitters are just like
cringing. I'm offending every single person listening right now. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm not
you didn't.
A
you probably just did the knit stitch, maybe, where you stick the needle in, you wrap it around, you pull it through, and you pop it off. I don't know. I'll have to see a picture.
It was two different stitches that I combined to make it like kind of weave in and out, so it had like more of a texture to it.
Oh, and you still have the scarf?
Yeah, you have it was this? Just like a one circle infinity scarf because I was like, I'm not going to buy one. I'm going to make one.
And that was it. Like, you made the one, and then you're just like, I love knitting so much, I'm done.
Technically, I didn't finish it, but...
Dude, you haven't finished the scarf?
But I thought, hey, what better time than now, because it's almost winter.
Oh, yeah, and you know those cold LA winters. You're definitely going to need yourself a big old infinity scarf.
Well, I'll be in Oregon for a bit, so I thought I might use it there.
You will be in Oregon, and we're pretty stoked about that. And then you're going to head over back to Kauai?
Yeah, I actually head back, November 24th.
Oh, good. So that's coming up pretty quick.
Yes, in a couple weeks. I'm excited.
Well, let's backpedal to several weeks ago when you did a photo shoot for the Dwell issue. And mm-hmm. instead of working on your own, you actually had a trio, you and Addie
and Allegra.
Allegra. Mm-hmm. Allegra is the one that we see in most of the other pictures with you. You're the redhead and she's the brunette.
Yes.
Addie stayed behind the camera.
Yes.
Can you just tell us what it was about the two areas that you picked? I know I said that I kind of tossed up some ideas of where I would like the photo shoot mm-hmm. to be, but you instinctively had a couple of things in mind. And can you just kind of share with us these areas where you did the photo shoot?
One of them, so the beach photo shoot, was one of the beaches that I actually, like, for one of the music videos that I did, that sleep video was the same beach. And so it's called Rat Beach, and it's not because there's rats. It's called Right After Torrance.
Oh.
and so I was like, that's an easy spot. The lighting typically is really good in the morning. It's really pretty. I didn't know necessarily exactly where on the beach it was going to be. And I knew that there was cliffs right next to it. Mm-hmm. So just hearing from what you wanted, it made sense. Like, maybe we'll do a beach scene there. Allegra actually found the specific spot we went to at that beach where with all those rocks, which mm-hmm. I was so stoked about, because before I was like, we're just going to be playing with sand. I don't know how this is going to work out. And then she showed me this little road that went into this little path that turned into this perfect rocky beach cove where no one was, in the perfect lighting. So it was, we planned spots, but then we kind of had a little improv of exactly where we were going to go and exactly what we were going to do.
It was, it looks like in all the pictures that it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it was that even balance of like, we planned it out exactly, but also I knew that if we weren't actually having fun and we weren't actually being creative in the moment, it would probably show through in the pictures just because we're not professional models. So we don't necessarily know how to fake it in every moment. So it, Allegra and I have grown up with each other since we were 14. So it was really easy just to like, we're both a little weird. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to play off of that in the pictures. It was fun.
Yeah. It, you get this sense of a friendship, and you can tell that Addie, who she is one of the photographers that we don't see. So when we see you and Allegra in pictures together, we can thank Addie for that. And she did a good job, I think, of capturing the images of your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, it's pretty easy to think through, okay, you know, you're my friend and we're going to be doing this and we're going to be smiling and oh my gosh, it's going to be so fun and we're going to have the ocean behind us and getting those kind of candid, I don't know, lifestyle, if you will, photos.
Mm-hmm.
But how was it trying to really zero in on the fact that, okay, this is knitwear and Melissa's on my back because she wants to see stitch definition and I've got to make sure that we can see this. Was it difficult? Was it tricky? How were some of the things that you kind of worked through? You know, kind of unpack for us a little bit of what it was like to take more still shots when they're not really still because they're on people, they're moving, you're definitely involved with the moment. There's some movement, but you've got to get some really good detail shots.
Yeah. So it was, I just made sure, like we had a couple of meetings like just beforehand and just really reiterate, like I would always reiterate, like we need to be intentional with every single shot. If there is, you know, something that a piece of hair that shouldn't be in a certain spot, like don't take the pictures, no point in even taking the picture because we're not going to keep the picture. So we had a lot of fun, but Allegra and I are both extreme. We tend to be when we're doing a project because we've worked together before. We're both opinionated and we're both perfectionists. So it can be a really good combination. There's a few times where we butt heads definitely because we'll both have, you know, conflicting ideas, but for the most part, we always work it out. Like we've known each other forever. But yeah, just being intentional, I think it wasn't difficult. It was definitely like, I just had to be thoughtful about everything that was happening constantly. So like making sure like, okay, this is free flowing and we're being natural, but at the same time, are we getting everything we need with knitwear specifically? Like it's important, at least I think it's important to get the detail shots.
Mm-hmm.
So just making sure like you get plenty. It's my philosophy is like, it's better to have too many than not enough. So we would just go ballistic with, you know, detail shots, trying to get every angle that you could possibly get and seeing which angle actually works out the best.
Yeah. And I think you guys had some really, really beautiful shots. A couple of the ones that I know for me were just, kind of going through the seaside and the coastline story. I love the cairns, the rocks that you guys were building.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a lot of fun. And I liked how nature in those became the forefront. And in the background, you could see you guys and you could get a sense, you know, there was something going on there. But I love the nature shots. I really enjoyed as a knitter seeing the cliff shots with the light. So you want to tell us a little bit about the cliff shots?
Yeah. So that was interesting because we got there way too early. And so we were trying to take pictures and it was just terrible light. It was so windy, out of control, which I don't, hopefully that didn't show through too much, but it was, that was actually a lot more difficult because we were definitely just winging it hoping that we get the right shot. We'd been up since 4 a.m. that morning. So we were a little bit tired, but we got there. And it ended up just working out. The light went down a little bit, and I really liked it because it was in the morning. We did just very like, you know, that shadow light where it is really perfect lighting. But
yeah,
at the night one or the evening one was the sunset light. Mm-hmm. So it definitely created more of an ambiance. I mean, you just can't beat sunset lighting. Mm-hmm. To me, it especially with those, like you had a lot of gold knitwear or like golden undertones, those autumn colors, and it just looks so good and so autumn-esque. So that was really fun. That was definitely the more difficult, challenging. We didn't have a ton to work with either for just props and figuring out like, what are we like, how are we going to come across as, you know, kind of like whatever the vibe you wanted, how are we going to make that come across with a cliff and some weeds? So
yeah, because I was pretty specific that I wanted, and this is for listeners, you know, Kate and I know this story, but I was pretty specific in the sense that, hey, you know what, I want you guys to be holding, touching, involved, actively engaged in your environment. But we didn't want to have, not for our first issue anyways, we didn't want to have a bunch of props or staging. We wanted it to really reflect the topic, which is unearthed, to kind of go out and discover. And, you know, you had to discover whatever it was that you were going to use for the photo shoot. And mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I was really stoked about is the fact that, one, of course, that it turned out well.
Yeah, thankfully that happened.
Yeah, but I like the fact that that Six Bits really wants people to collaborate, and instead of me, which, you know, definitely I have the right, but just because I have the right doesn't make it right, to say, okay, these are exactly what I want, do it just like this, find this spot at this time with this light, do it this way. And I feel like when I come to you with only my agenda and I'm holding really tightly to that agenda, that it's never going to grow and develop and find some kind of fulfillment. It's mm-hmm. when you take your idea and you share it with somebody and they take it as like the starting point and they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds really great. I have all these ideas. And then so-and-so gives you some more ideas. And then, you know, the first three or four things that you come back with aren't even what you're going to go with. It's just that whole process of going through and talking and connecting and sharing that lends itself to what I think in the end we really got was some beautiful shots that evoke just some beautiful, strong feelings of how lovely it can be to be with a friend, to be out in nature. And the hand knits were kind of like, it was funny because they were definitely supporting characters. And then in mm-hmm. some shots, you guys were definitely awesome with giving them like total props and right there in the midst. I love the shot of you holding the discovery, the scarf, the long flowing scarf, and you held it. And it was like a series of 1, 2, 3 pictures where the scarf started out straight. It kind of flowed a little bit and it moved a little bit more in the light from behind popping through it. Those were sick.
Yeah.
They were really
good. Oh my gosh. That was Allegra's idea. I was really excited about those photos. I was like, I could not believe she got them. They looked really cool.
Well, for the people, the friends, the listeners that are kind of hearing and they've seen what you guys came up with, do you have maybe 2, maybe 3 different ideas that just coming out of the photo shoot that you learned that even though you don't knit, that you think would be great to share with folks? Hey, you know what, if you're going to take some photos, because we've all seen photos that are really inspiring before, and then you've seen some that you're just like, oh, wow. If you wanted to help somebody recreate what you did, what are just a couple tips and ideas for them to think about when they're shooting?
I would say, I mean, the first few things that come to mind is, one, just making sure that you get you need good lighting, obviously, like getting good detail shots of whatever you're taking photos of. I think that's important to really see what the texture is that you're dealing with. And then I think a really important thing is making sure whatever you're wearing, it looks like, yeah, you're having fun and it's being natural, but you're also being intentional where with like where it's lying. Like, are you having straps hanging out that shouldn't be hanging out? I mean, I even messed up on some of that stuff and I was trying to constantly be thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that was really important. And that really does like make or break a photo being good or not. And then I think the last part is just being natural. I know for me, lifestyle shoots are definitely not my forte when I'm being like the model. I tend to not know what to do because it can be really awkward. So it's good. It's nice to do it with a friend because it instantly is a lot more natural feeling. And it really comes across better when not every single picture is super posed and super perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I love those shots. Like, I love just like head on front face, like it's a perfect portrait. But sometimes I really appreciate and like the look of just lifestyle shots of just living and someone took a picture in that moment.
So which do you recommend, morning shoots or afternoon shoots? Which do you think is easier for people who are just starting out with photography?
Oh, definitely. I would say, I think morning and evening I would have to say probably morning, mm-hmm. in the shade, because you don't have to deal with like with the sun. There's so many just things you're having to juggle of like, which angle do I need to get? Like, is it too bright? Is it too dim? You only have 30 minutes of light and you're trying to cram like all this stuff into a short amount of time, as opposed to in the shade. The light's consistent. Almost every angle is going to look good. You really get the detail. I always think about like, if I want detail shots and like just good photos, do it in the morning. But if you want to take a chance and get really more of creating an ambiance and a vibe, then do more of a sunset shot because it's a lot vibier, you could say. Sometimes you can't really see the actual things you're shooting as well, but it creates a way, like just a louder voice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely kind of frames it differently. So you get like an all over cohesive feeling that just is like, yeah, this is the whole story in one shot. Like, this is so much color. This is so much beauty. This is so much depth. Yeah. What was your favorite thing about the whole thing?
About the whole thing?
Yeah, because you had the morning. Like, you guys got up so early. I was so proud of you guys. I was waiting in the morning. We were texting back and forth. And I think people don't realize that even though I'm far away, like, I'm very hands-on. I hope it didn't come across as bossy. But even with, like, Nate, like, working with Nate and the team on Kauai, it was just like,
mm-hmm.
okay, nope. This, that, the other, oh yeah, awesome, or whatever, you know, texting and really being there.
But. Yeah, I actually liked that because it made it, instead of having the anticipation of, oh gosh, what is she going to think once I give her these photos that she's never seen anything close to about it, but like taking pictures, sending you kind of where we're at, showing you like a few of the photos that we've taken, or, you know, asking you questions, it made it a little less terrifying knowing like, okay, she wants me to tweak that a little bit, or this is actually the right way to put that on. I don't have to second guess that.
Oh my gosh. The fact that you used me and terrifying in the same sentence is killing me.
No, not terrifying, but just for my own sake of,
we have
one time to shoot this. Like, I really better not mess up like every shot of the scarf, you know, it's in, or whatever I'm wearing is inside out the entire time. Cause you know me, I've definitely done that before.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it was nice. That was a huge benefit. I just knowing like, okay, I know every single thing we've shot has been like worn the right way. It's not inside out. She likes this place we're shooting at, or, you know, whatever it is. And it's fun.
Yeah, so. And listeners probably won't realize this, but we can go ahead and let them know. We've actually been working for several weeks now. Actually, we started working like with ideas, general ideas, before you even did the first photo shoot for the second issue.
Yeah.
So the second issue has definitely already been planned out. And even today, kind of going back and forth in the thread with you and Hannah, just super stoked about that one. I just can't even, I can't even stand how excited I am about that.
Same.
So
I can't wait.
Out of all the different pieces you had, and this is not going to offend anybody because you don't know who knit what.
Nope, I don't.
What was your favorite piece in the collection?
Oh, that is...
And you can describe it and I'll name it because you probably don't know the names of them.
Yeah, I am not going to know the names. Okay, that's definitely... That is a difficult... Okay, I instantly, I just loved that one, the brown, orangey sweater thing that I wore that had like the slits on the side and it was tight on the arms.
Mm-hmm. That's Zed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a pullover.
Yeah, that just because it fit me really well. I loved that aspect. And I just thought it was like trendy. It was cute. And then I did, I mean, I liked the, what was that? The infinity scarf thing that was just one cowl neck scarf.
Oh, that's golden wood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a cowl. Yep.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then I just love the sock things. I thought those were really cool accessories that you can just add.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
go ahead.
I was just gonna say we ended up pairing the wrist ones or the short ankle ones with that shirt, which I think that was your idea. And I thought that looked so cute and I would have never thought of that. So,
yeah. And you know what gave me the idea for a lot of those pieces to kind of flip around is when you and I were working on the Wandering Wardrobe project, where when I sent it to you and you sent me the first images and you had everything on and then you had this one shrug that I made and you were like, okay, I got some pictures. And I was like, Kate, it's upside down, but I love it. And so we went with it. No, it was inside out. That's what it was.
And upside down.
Yes.
It was
and
both.
It was inside out and upside down. I was just like, oh my gosh. You're like, but, and I remember your message. You're like, but I that's how I thought it was supposed to be worn. And I thought, you know, it totally could because it looked really good. But even like the blue sweater, Musubi, when you had that sucker on, that big blue, bright blue sweater,
yeah.
You wore it backwards. I think it's kind of fun to take your hand knits. Or I guess any piece of wardrobe, but since, you know, I deal in hand knits, I think it's fun to think outside of the box with not just hand knits, but pretty much life. You know, it's a lot more fun when you allow it to be something more than what it could be.
Yeah.
Or give it the freedom to be less, you know, like your leg warmers. Why stick them on your wrist? Why not? Why not stick them on your wrist?
That was a good idea. I really liked that.
Well, you know, when I first was making them, I actually was putting them on my wrist because, you know, after my injury, my left arm still to this day is always like ice. Like you touch it on the outside, it's super cold. And when it gets cold, like my wrist and my hand, the mobility is just, it just kind of like shuts down. So I constantly have something on, like I have socks that I just kind of cut the tips of them off and I put on like a sleeve, like that nasty.
That's a good idea.
Not like junk socks, like clean socks, but
a nice sock.
Yeah. A really nice sock, not hand knit socks, but I do. I use those little sleeves or the little leg warmer things that way.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
So what's kind of cool is Zed, the pullover that you liked best was something that I created. That one's mine. And
ooh.
I think it's kind of fun because the second thing you picked, which was also awesome, is Golden Wood. And that's by Melody. She's my partner and she is in Latvia. And she's a genius when it comes to designing stuff. So
yeah, that was awesome.
And then the leg warmer sock things that you were talking about, those are Karen's and I did those. And then Melody made the scarf, that long, beautiful brown scarf.
Yes, that was looked very good with my hair.
And then it did. It looked really good with your hair. And then the pullover that you couldn't wear that a legger was rocking and looked fabulous in. That was Avon, and that one's mine. So.
Oh, wow. That's
Yeah,
so that's they awesome. Were all – I loved all the pieces. They were – I mean, I personally was more biased towards the ones I was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
because they because they were on me.
They were yours. You were ownering, them, them. You were owning them.
I got a lot closer to them, so I felt more attached.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. I think that I think the whole thing was fun, and I don't know about you, and without giving too much away, how are you feeling about this upcoming photo shoot?
At first I was a little unsure about how it was going to happen, but, and on my side of things, obviously not you, but I always have that feeling.
I think on mine too, because I'm asking you guys, and we're not going to tell anybody, but I'm asking you guys to definitely do something that is weird or odd, especially today. Like the, you did listen to the other message, right? I know Hannah has been. You probably haven't. When you listen to it, you'll be like, oh, okay, I see. Hannah and I have already been locking this down. And one part of it that people will see when the issue releases in January, which I cannot even believe we're like planning for this already for January. But we're definitely taking people different places, a lot of different places and a lot of different scenes with a lot of different people wearing even the same pieces. Because I think it's important that people get to see the different pieces of knitwear when we're going to make them. Like that's the difference between fashion and knitting fashion, is the fact that we actually are creating the item that we're going to wear. And so we want to make it, you know, very personalized to ourselves. And sometimes it helps to see it on different body types.
Yeah. And I think that's, I'm excited for those same reasons. It's going to be, now that we've established a lot more just tangible things that are going to happen, I'm really excited to see what happens and work with the people I'm going to work with. It's always a little scary going into it with all the unknowns, but I think that's what ends up making it, those end up being the things that are, I end up liking the best. So I'm excited.
I am too. And I'm really thankful that, I just feel like it's a great team. I think that, this time around, it's a different team. I like that about how the publication works on that each time, is to totally reinvent the contributor list and the people that we're dealing with and interacting with. And we're going to be working with you again, but you're going to have a much bigger range of people that you're working with, and we're pulling in some other people too. And so,
yeah,
I think it's going to be a great story, a really great story.
Yeah. I'm extremely excited.
And some really interesting and a variety of settings. So
yes, I think it's going to be really cool.
I think so too. And I think you are really cool, and I appreciate you so much. And I thank you for sharing all the different things that you did today and just sharing of yourself this past issue.
Oh, well, thanks for letting me be a part of it. I am super honored.
All right. Well, friends, I hope that you enjoyed your time spent together with me chatting with Kate. Isn't it amazing how our creative world can be enriched and actually touched by people who aren't even knitters? The fact that Kate and the crew really poured in their hearts to the photos and creating great moments and wonderful images for the Unearth collection gave us all a gift of something beautiful, and I hope you're enjoying it. And now I'd like to give a gift to you. You can head over to the www.6bitstorybooks.com website and click on the podcast tab and find today, episode 8. And in the show notes, there's a download link for something special I want to give to you. If you are a listener in the U.S., you can simply text 44222 with the word, one word, as yes, please. YESPLEASE. No spaces, just yes, please. And I will happily pop that into your inbox without you having to even move out of your comfortable spot to the computer. If you do want to see some of the images that Kate and I chatted about and you don't have the Unearth issue, please drop by the podcast link issue or episode 8. And I'd like to share a couple of the beautiful images there with you just to kind of inspire you and let you see a bit more of what we were talking about. Again, if you want to download this week's free gift, simply dial 44222 and enter the word yes, please, or head over to episode 8 in the show notes and click on the free gift download button. As always, it's my pure joy spending time with you. I hope that this week you are encouraged to find moments where you can learn and stretch out of your comfort zone of knitting and your creative passions, and listen to someone who is not necessarily knitting and having still something special that they can share with you. My best aloha is always to you, and I hope that you can slow down and absorb the beauty around you this week. And join us next week for another fantastic time together, hearing and sharing stories. Aloha.